Well, that was a pretty heavy video. And today isn't going to be all heavy and everything, so to kind of break the mood a little bit, anybody notice the size of his knot on his tie? It's like chin size. That was amazing. You know what, this is probably the fourth Sunday in a row that I've preached, the fourth Super Bowl Sunday that I've preached. And this is the first time that I'm not going to be able to use my kind of standard Super Bowl Sunday joke, which is, and I'm just going to kind of use it anyway, because, but it doesn't fit at all this morning, so I'm not even going to try to make it a joke. But for me, this is the last great moment of football before the long drought. It's the last exciting thing before, the dead period. And I don't care about the Super Bowl, of course. What I'm talking about is college signing day, which happens on Tuesday, where us immature and ridiculously irrational men pin our hopes for the future on 18-year-olds' decisions on where they're going to college. Home is where the heart is. So what did Jesus want? He wanted to hang out with Zacchaeus. We're going to call him Zach. Because that'll save about 150 syllables in this sermon. Jesus initiates a conversation with Zach. Now, this is week 3 of our conversations series. And in this series, we're exploring various conversations that happen in the Bible. And we're basically asking ourselves a couple of questions. First, we're asking, are we having the kind of conversations that we need to be having with Jesus? And then the other side of that is we're asking, how do those questions help us think about the kinds of conversations we need to be having with our neighbor? Conversations about faith and about Christ. So today we're looking at the conversation between Jesus and Zach. So the story starts with Jesus walking into Jericho, where Zach lives. And as Jesus has come in closer to town, the crowds gather. I mean, it's literally like a parade, and there's too many people. And he's too short. Zach can't see Jesus. So he runs down the road a bit, and he literally climbs a tree to be able to see. Now let me stop right there and invite you to cast yourself as Zacchaeus for a moment. I think there are a lot of us who struggle to see Jesus. The crowd for us, it might be any number of things. It might be busyness or laziness or anger or things that we're doing and we probably know we shouldn't be. What is it that keeps you from seeing Jesus? And what would it look like for you to climb a tree? What is it that you need to do to put yourself in a place where you can see over the thing that blocks your view so that you can see Jesus? By the way, if you look in your the handout you got this morning, the sermon outline, I'm going to loosely follow that. Feel free to take notes if there are any of these things that you really just think, oh, that's good, and you want to remember. Great place to ask and write down some of these questions. Is Jesus inviting you to rearrange your life so that you can have this kind of a conversation with him? Well, I think the thing that's maybe keeping Zacchaeus from having a relation, a good conversation with God is his job. Zacchaeus is a tax collector. That basically means Zacchaeus was a sellout. He was Jewish, but he'd gone to work for the man. Here's how tax collectors got rich. They got paid by the Roman Empire to collect those taxes that were sent back to Rome. But if they happened to charge just a little bit higher rate, they got to pocket that. So the more they charged, the more money they made. You can understand why tax collectors were basically seen as sellouts, scumbags, people who profited by bilking others out of their hard-earned money. And Zach was a wealthy man. It tells us he was the chief tax collector for that area. For Zacchaeus, home represents the fruit of his sin. So Jesus walks right up to the tree that Zach is clinging to, and he says, Zach, come down. I need to stay at your house today. when he uses the word today, Jesus is expressing urgency. It communicates that the most important thing for Jesus at that very moment was drawing this lost sheep of Israel back into the flock. Jesus sees Zac as the highest priority in his journey through Jericho. He stops everything to make a way for Zac to step back into conversation with God. Okay? Consider yourselves warned at this point. It's dangerous to see Jesus. When we come face to face with Jesus, anything can happen. When Zacchaeus climbs this tree to be able to see Jesus, he got more than he bargained for. There was no way to hide his sin with Jesus sitting at his table. So Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' home to make the point that Jesus wants all of us. And what I mean is, for each of you, Jesus wants all of you. Notice what Jesus says about Zacchaeus' sin. Nothing. Look what he says about Zacchaeus' business. Nothing. About his lifestyle. Nothing. Jesus simply initiates conversation. You know why? I think it's because Jesus wants restoration, not condemnation. Because in restoration, Jesus can take the whole person and make them new. He wants all of Zacchaeus. And so he starts by saying, "Take me home." Home being the place where you are who you really are. Home being who you are at the deepest part of you. I want all of you. Now, I don't know if you're anything like me, but if you are, you've got those parts of your life that you'd just as soon not talk to Jesus about. Those parts of your life that you'd like to try to hide. Or maybe it's not even that intentional. You just don't think about Jesus in this part of life. But Jesus wants to go home with you. Jesus wants to be in that ugly place with you. Zacchaeus was certainly looked down on by his community. But you know, truthfully, he was just doing what tax collectors did. This is how they got paid. They all did this. They didn't have the IRS. They didn't have a tax code that was this thick. It's just what they did. The text doesn't give us any indication that Zacchaeus felt bad about what he was doing. It was just business. But it was business that was disconnected from Jesus. Let's take a minute. Just be honest. For every one of us, on some level, I know we can find that place where we are a tax collector. We all have those places in our lives where we just as soon not welcome Jesus in there. We don't want Jesus to set the standard. We don't want Jesus to have his way with that. You know, I'll just keep that over here. Church, tax collector. I think it's important for us to start by recognizing who we are. So here's what I want you to do. Repeat after me. I am Zacchaeus. This time with some meaning. I am Zacchaeus.
I am Zacchaeus.
You're getting there. Now look at the person sitting beside you and say, I am Zacchaeus.
I am Zacchaeus.
Now the person on the other side. I am Zacchaeus. You're doing good. Okay. When you're driving, say it with me. I am Zacchaeus. When I'm at work, I am Zacchaeus. Here's getting personal on the golf course. I am Zacchaeus. When I'm cooking, when I'm out on the town, when I'm getting dressed on Sunday morning, I am Zacchaeus. But remember, this is not about condemnation. This is about restoration. So when I ask, where in your life are you, Zac? That's the place in your life that Jesus wants to move and work. What would change? What would change if Jesus came home and had dinner at your house. Kind of a side note, I want to point out what the crowd does. They complain. They complain about Jesus hanging out with Zacchaeus. The Greek word is literally, they grumbled. You know what? This happens time and time again in the New Testament. Jesus is up to something. It's a new something. He's doing something that they didn't usually do, something that was outside their comfort zone, and the people grumbled. Twice in Matthew, five times in John, twice in Luke, twice in 1 Corinthians, the same word, they grumbled. And the point, time and time again, is pretty clear. The grumblers have some problems. Grumbling is not a good thing. Are we ever like that? Do you ever want church to be nice and clean? I mean, what would happen if somebody stood up on Sunday morning and cried out, Jesus, I need you? What if somebody stood up and confessed sin? Would that make you ridiculously uncomfortable? Or would you be excited that Jesus was going home with somebody? Do we shush those who are seeking Jesus? Would it bother you if Jesus came to town and he'd rather hang out over in Urbana than Champaign? I'm not saying he would. I'm just asking. They grumbled. Okay, file that away. Do whatever you want with it. Look at what Zacchaeus does in response. He gives half of everything he owns to the poor. And he pledges to repay four times over if he cheated anybody. Now, this first action of giving half of his things away, I mean, it just demonstrates extravagant generosity. That ought to be especially applicable to us, to U.S. Christians who give less than 3% of themselves away. But the second action is incredibly significant. In the Old Testament law, this is in Leviticus and Numbers, I think, a swindler who was caught was forced to repay twice what they stole. Zacchaeus, who would have known that, says, I'm going to repay four times. Zac is going above and beyond in making his wrongs right. Not because he has to, because he wants to. In a very real way, what's happening is Zacchaeus' encounter with Jesus changes the way he lives his life, changes the way he runs his business. It changes the rules. He replaces his values from the bottom line being the most important to caring for others being the most important. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but there's a place in the Bible where it says, it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The story of Zacchaeus is an example of a rich person who got it right. So I want to offer you three characteristics of Zacchaeus' response. First, actually, I'm going to give you four. I found a bonus one this morning. First, Zacchaeus recognizes his need. Now, he was rich financially, but he was spiritually bankrupt. When the crowds grumble about Jesus hanging out with a sinner, Zacchaeus basically says, you're right, I am. He recognizes his need. But Zacchaeus is also obedient. When Jesus says, come down immediately and take me to your home today, he does. It says he got down right away and he welcomed Jesus into his home. Obedience. Third, joy. He welcomed him into his home gladly. Can you imagine being glad about Jesus walking in, unannounced, unprepared, into your house? I mean, it takes us 2 days to get ready for a party at our house. But he welcomes Jesus in gladly, even if it meant everything was going to change. And then the last one is repentance. That word literally means turning. You're going in one direction and you stop and you turn around and you go in the other direction. because of Zacchaeus' response, Jesus says, salvation has come to this home today. Notice it doesn't say anything about faith. Not a word about Zac believing the right thing. Zacchaeus proves his faith by his faithfulness. Okay, last point. Look with me at verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Those are the words of Jesus. The Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. Wait. He didn't come to circle up with the religious. He came to seek and save what was lost. He didn't come to meet together with the faithful. He came to seek and save what was lost. Jesus lays out his mission right there. The mission of Jesus is to initiate relationship, conversation with those who are disconnected from God. It's the mission of chasing after those who are walking away and welcoming them back. In our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, there are multitudes of people who are an awful lot like Zac. They're just living their lives, not dismissing God, just doing what they do. And the thing that's missing is someone filled with the Holy Spirit, someone who can be the presence of Jesus Christ, who steps into their lives and says, take me home with you. Let me into who you are. Let me show you who I am. Let's have a conversation. That's our mission too. Just a minute, I'm going to pray. And then we're going to collect the offering. And as the bowls are being passed, I want to invite you, I want to challenge you to take the time and listen. Listen to Jesus inviting you to conversation. Listen to Jesus inviting himself home with you. There's a few reflection questions on the bottom of the sermon outline. There's a whole bunch of questions on the other side if you need some things to spur your thinking. But just like home is a metaphor for Zacchaeus and who he is at the core of his being, I want to pray that this offering would be a metaphor for you giving all of yourself to Jesus. Whether or not you've got anything to put in the bowl, maybe hold the bowl for a second. Put your hand over it and say, Jesus, have me. Have my home. Have my life. Have who I am. May your tithes and offerings represent you welcoming Jesus into your home. Let's pray.